We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Rotor Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday. It's December 11th. It is 2023. We have a huge 13-game NBA slate. You know, no NBA on Sunday, only one game on Saturday with the in-season tournament. Congratulations to the Lakers for taking down the in-season tournament. Congratulations to LeBron, Anthony Davis. They looked phenomenal throughout the entire tournament. We saw big game LeBron, it felt like. Joined as always on a Monday by my good buddy Will Priester, Chief Justice 06. Chief, in-season tournament, I'm going to just chalk it up as a success.
Brother, listen, here's the thing, Stevie. I actually think most people feel like the in-season tournament was a success. Like, even if you listen to the commentators talking about it, because they had Mike Breen, Doris Burke, and Coach Doc Rivers on the call for that game. They talked about the fact that the league wanted increased competition going into December. They didn't want this week, a bunch of players sitting, stars sitting. They wanted to facilitate more competition. And they gave them some incentive to do it. And yeah, the in-season tournament is not the NBA championship. But, you know, Stevie, like, I think the big takeaway for me in this was a team like the Indiana Pacers, who may be on the outside looking in at an actual championship, had a chance to go through some small steps towards achieving glory. And yeah, they didn't beat the Lakers. But think about who they had to go through to get there. We had to see a big game between them and Milwaukee. We got a chance to see a big game between them and Boston. And it just shows you in the NBA, on any given night, Steve, if every NBA team has got one game to move on, anything can happen. The Lakers just happen to be the better team for the actual tournament, in-season tournament championship. But, I mean, I think the NBA – I think they blew the doors off this one, man. Like, this could go down as one of the best decisions that Commissioner Silver has instituted for the league. Like, it really could. Like, when you look back 50 years, this could be the biggest change to the league.
We got playoff basketball in November.
Incredible.
It was just – it was playoff atmosphere in the play-in games. It was in the semifinals, quarterfinals, all that stuff. I mean, it was just it was great basketball. And as a fan of the sport in general, I think that this was a huge win. So,
yeah.
shout out to the NBA. I mean, I assume we see it again next year. I'd see no reason why we don't see it next year. Just absolutely phenomenal. So
I think the fans will scream at the league if they don't have that. The fans will say, look, what are you guys doing? Like, give us competitive basketball. A hit, basically. It's a hit.
I mean, it would go from being like a great decision to a terrible decision. I mean, like,
yeah,
we brought you this phenomenal thing, and then we took it away because. But no, I thought it was great. So
yeah, for sure.
Super, super pumped that. I mean, we have an idea of what to expect in competitive games from some of these teams and some of these players. So yeah, it's been fun. 13 games. We got a lot to talk about here today. What's up, YouTube? Hope everyone is having a fantastic Sunday night. And let's get into it. We get started here with Miami at Charlotte. 222.5 total here. Miami, 4-point favorite. Bam, Hero, Highsmith out. Ball, Martin out. Williams doubtful for Charlotte. We'll go Miami first. Charlotte, one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. We've seen Orlando Robinson's minutes kind of all over the place. I think this is a great spot. I wanted to start with him because I think this is a great spot for him to have like a 28 plus minute game and just absolutely crush at 5,600.
Listen, man, I don't know how, Stevie, I don't know how we don't play Jimmy Butler here at 8,900.
Yeah, against,
like this is, I mean, this might be the best spot in price we get on him all year. I know he hasn't been like super upside Jimmy Butler, like in a general sense, like 40s every game. But I mean, the upside is going to be there in this matchup, especially with Bam out and all these other guys. Like, he's probably one of the top tournament plays on the board. I got to give it to him.
Yeah, and honestly, like that Cleveland game the other night, it kind of went small. Kevin Love was playing phenomenal. So, like, Orlando Robinson didn't check back in after his, like, third quarter stint. So, I think, you know, we assume Orlando Robinson gets minutes back here. Kevin Love, like I said, he played great in that game. He does get a nice bump with Hero and Bam off the floor, but I don't think we see him play 25-plus minutes again. I think that was a, hey, we're going up against Cleveland type of situation. So I'm not overly excited about playing him. I really think that this is a spot. We're playing Jimmy Butler, like you said. We're playing Orlando Robinson. And I don't hate Caleb Martin. I wish his price was still a little bit cheaper, but this is now – 3 straight games over 30 minutes. He's looked great. The usage is right. He's taken shots, over 15 shots in 3 straight. Like, this is the Caleb Martin that, like, we saw in their playoff run. And with Hero out and Bam out, he's just getting more and more usage. So, yeah, the price stinks, but I think we can still take some shots on Caleb Martin as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love that call. I mean, 6,400. Like, I think he's just expensive enough for people to not play him, Stevie.
Yep.
And he could absolutely do it in tournaments.
Charlotte side of this game, I mean, Terry Rozier, 8,300 seems like a fair price tag for someone that, like, just has a huge usage right now, playing a ton of minutes. So definitely don't mind Rozier. And then Bridges is someone that has a little bit of upside. His price has gotten to it's come down a little bit now. He's had a couple, like, mediocre games. So I think that's the two guys that I'm looking at here. If Williams gets ruled out, Nick Richards is still 4,600. I think that's a fair price tag. It's not like he's going up against Bam. He's going up against Orlando Robinson. So I think that's a nice little bump for Richards. So it would depend on ownership and what we get. I mean, it's a 13-game slate. We're going to get plenty of value today.
Yeah, for sure. I don't hate Rozier. Look, I mean, he's kind of leading the charge right now, so he's definitely a guy I think you could consider. I do like P.J. Washington at 5,700. Like, if especially with us anticipating Williams sitting, I do think P.J. is a guy, like, I think we saw him get, I think, Steve, if I'm not mistaken, 3 to 5 extra minutes with William City, and that's enough for, that's the difference between him finishing with 28 fantasy points, Stevie, and 35. You know what? In a general sense, so I like PJ at 57. I think the price is very fair for a guy that's got 35 to 40 point upside with 30 or more minutes. So I really like him a lot, and I'm with you on Nick Richards as well. Like, price is still fair if he's going to get 28, 30 minutes.
Washington at Philadelphia, 243 total in this game. Philly, a 11.5-point favorite. Shamet and Wright out for Washington. Embiid, questionable for Philly. We'll start Washington first. Anything that's standing out to you here for the Wizards?
I think Embiid is the big one. Daniel Gafford just seems like he's questionable every game. If Embiid is out, I think I have some interest in him at 5,500. Other than that, though, I mean, I don't hate Jordan Poole at 65. Like, I know he feels really yucky because I think his role in this team we thought was going to be a little bit different, but I don't hate it for the price. He's probably still a little overpriced, but, you know, if Embiid's out, this game could be a little bit closer. All in all, though, man, I really don't want to play anywhere from Washington.
Yeah, do you know Jordan Poole reminds me of, like, 5 years ago, DeMar DeRozan, just shooting and not doing anything else, like not getting any kind of stats. Like,
oh man,
somebody I'll look at like player point props for, but I just can't touch him in DFS right now. He's just not.
I think that was a great reference too. 5 years ago, DeMar DeRozan. I remember those shows. Like, why are we playing DeMar DeRozan for him to just score 28 points and do nothing else? Like,
yeah, he'd get like 30 points, and then he'd get like, it would be like 30 points, and then he'd get one or two rebounds and assists, and he'd be like 7,500. And it's just like 30 points a night, not getting any other stats is not enough. So, I mean, it's tough for me to play pool right now. Honestly, like, Washington's just been a team that I've been avoiding. Because I just don't love the prices on any of these guys. Definitely don't love this matchup. Embiid practice Sunday. I assume Embiid plays in this game. If he does, it's definitely a ceiling spot for him. The last time these two teams played was about 5 days ago, and Embiid had 29 shot attempts. He scored 79 fantasy points, 50 actual points. The game stayed close, 131-126. If the game stays close, Embiid smashes. It's the same thing we said a couple days ago. If the game stays close, he smashes. If Embiid sits, Tyrese Maxey becomes one of the top plays on the entire slate. That's how I'm looking at Philadelphia.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I love this spot for Maxey. If Embiid sits, once again, I think you explained it beautifully there. But I will say, if Embiid plays, he's probably the only person I want to play from this team. He's just crushing it, man. And Maxey could get off in this game. Don't get me wrong. At 9,200, this could absolutely be a 50 spot. But at 9,200, I think I could get a guard for a little bit more value under his price. Embiid, though, I mean, right now it's got to be what him, Jokic, Luka, and AD. On an occasional basis, AD isn't hitting 70 most nights though. Embiid, Luka, Jokic, man, these guys are walking 65 plus almost right now. You got to consider them.
I will say Melton's been playing really well for Philly. If you want to roll the dice on Melton, he's someone that's, like I said, he's been playing great. He's been getting to the free throw line quite a bit, making shots. So I don't hate Melton. I just don't know like if he has the ceiling for a 13 game slate. You know, four or five game slate, I think we'd be talking a lot more about Melton in this spot.
Oh, yeah.
Cleveland at Orlando, 224.5 total here. Orlando, 2.5-point favorite. LeVert and Mobley out for Cleveland. Wendell Carter, Fultz out. Suggs and Isaac questionable for Orlando. Let's start with Cleveland. No Mobley. That's big. LeVert, his role is kind of all over the place, but Evan Mobley is a guy that plays 34 to 38 minutes a night. Him being out is definitely going to open up some minutes here for Cleveland. Do we think it's going to be Nang at 4,500?
That's what I think it's going to be.
I think so, too.
Yep. That's exactly who I think it's going to be. with the increase. I mean, Dean Wade will play some minutes. You know,
he started the other night, right? Mobley was sat and Dean Wade played like 25 minutes starting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Okoro will get some minutes, but I think Niang, it benefits him the most in terms of overall minutes. And then just from a just an overall perspective, I mean, if you just think logically, like who's going to carry this team? It's Mitchell, it's Garland, and maybe a sprinkle of Allen. The crazy part about it is, man, Max Strus has really been involved. Stevie, like, he's playing big minutes. Strus is a sneaky tournament play to me today. Like, I've made it a point to not attack the Orlando Magic with bad teams, but I think Cleveland's good enough to keep up. And that's kind of where Strus to me is almost like, Martin from Miami. They're priced, but if you're not really watching them play, you're not realizing these guys are putting up 35 fantasy points tonight because they're on the floor playing good minutes. So I would include Strus in there as like a possible let's get weird GPP play of the day.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I don't hate that call. Mitchell's been playing great. He's just 9,500. Garland's been playing good. He's 7,700. It's just like these Cleveland guys have been playing great. It's just their prices have caught up. Don't hate looking at like Allen's rebounding prop in this game. Orlando Magic side of this one. What are your thoughts here on Orlando?
Yeah, man. Orlando, you know, they've had some guys kind of sitting as well, Stevie. You know, here and there and everywhere. And once again, I mean, to me, the guy that's been the most stable has been Franz Wagner at 7,900. Like, he's been a guy, Stevie, that we've just really been seeing some serious upside from here, especially in the right matchups. Now, is this the right matchup? Maybe. You know, his minutes are definitely stable. You know, last time they played Cleveland, he only put up 40 fantasy points, but he's got 50-point upside. I don't hate Franz. Do I think I can get some more value from somewhere else? Yes. Like, is Cole Anthony in play? Maybe. But I think in terms of the stability of what Franz has been able to do, I do like him today in tournaments. Paolo obviously has tremendous upside as well. So I don't hate that, but he's 8,400, so we got to pay a little bit more for him. Last time he faced Cleveland, 54 fantasy points, 42 real points, Stevie. Incredible performance. But if I had to choose today, I think I'd still take Franz.
Banchero was crushing Detroit the other night, and that game just didn't stay close. So I will say, like, his upside right now and his ceiling right now just seems really good. He's playing fantastic basketball. He didn't play in the fourth quarter at all the other night, so he didn't get that extra run. And, like, that's another 10 to 15 fantasy points potentially if he gets his fourth quarter run at, you know. So I don't hate it. I just don't – overall, I don't love the spot for Orlando. This is not, like, one of those, like, fast-paced games that projects for a ton of scoring. I don't mind the Franz Wagner call. I think at these prices now, I would prefer – Banchero over Franz. Cole Anthony's price is appropriate. I mean, Jalen Suggs, if he were to sit here, I mean, it's going to open up a few extra minutes for like a Gary Harris, but
yeah,
Gary Harris is 5K. Like, I'm not paying 5K for Gary Harris on a 13-game slate. So, nope. And, like, Goga, him and Mo Wagner, like, who's ever playing better gets an extra few minutes. So, honestly, I just – it's probably Banchero or nothing for me on Orlando, and I probably don't get to him on this slate with 13 games. All right, we got Indiana at Detroit. This game has a 247.5 total. 247.5. And the Pacers, a 6.5-point favorite. Nimhard out, Nesmith questionable, and Smith out for Indiana. And then Bagley, doubtful, Duren, and Morris out for Detroit. What are we looking at here on the Pacers today?
Oh, man, Stevie. First of all, are they going to have in-season tournament hangover? I don't think so. Coming right out playing the Detroit Pistons will get your season right back on track. Halliburton might go for blood in this one, Stevie. I mean, he's 10-9. I think he's one of the top tournament options on the slate. He's not quite in the Embiid category, Luka and Jokic, but he's close. He's close. And at 10-9 in this type of spot, Stevie, I'm willing to roll the dice. And just to kind of give people a peek behind the curtain, Stevie put up 42.75 fantasy points in the in-season tournament game. That was a rough night for him. Like, a rough night if you watch the game, just general, getting in the flow of the game, a lot of double team. He still put up 42 fantasy points. He's not going to get that kind of defense in this Detroit Pistons game. I got to think, man, this is a 60-plus coming from Halliburton. Love him today. Does TJ McConnell get to play 20 minutes in this game because of his outstanding performance in that championship game? Probably not, but that's okay. It's definitely Halliburton or bust for me. Like, I don't think I need these other pieces in this game, like Benedict. He's 5,300, but their minutes are all over the place. I know Halliburton's going to get the minutes. I know he's going to play. I believe he'll produce. I'll play him every day of the week.
Yeah, McConnell, fantastic the other night. For me, I mean, Halliburton could easily smash in this spot. First of all, I hate the price tag now, 10-9. But, like, that hopefully – that will continue to keep Halliburton's ownership down on these big slates. So, I think he has the ceiling. I'm with you. I don't know if he has, like, Embiid-type ceiling. If that, like, Washington game stays close, we're about to talk about Jokic in Atlanta on the next game. So, like, you know, to continue to, like, think about, like, these studs, I mean, we have a plenty of options today. So, I like Halliburton in this spot. I don't love the price tag. I think Miles Turner has some upside in this spot. Detroit is dealing with a ton of injuries down low right now. Duren is out. Bagley's doubtful. I could see Miles Turner having a solid game. Don't necessarily love the price tag on DraftKings. I don't have FanDuel pulled up in front of me or Yahoo pulled up in front of me. So he's someone that I would definitely price shop a little bit. And Mathurin's okay. Toppin's okay. I just don't know if they make builds, again, on this big old 13-game slate. Detroit side, like I said, missing some people here. Duren out, Bagley doubtful. You know, does that give Isaiah Stewart 28-plus minutes? Probably, 5,700. He's not like he's a huge – not like a huge foul or like a huge value here anymore. I'm struggling with the Detroit side of this game. And, like, outside of Cade and maybe Bogdanovich, like, who is going to be the producers to keep this game close is where I'm struggling with Detroit.
Yeah, for sure. I would say Bogdanovich is probably definitely in the mix here. He's another one, Stevie, in the 6,500 category, along with these other guys that we talked about, where this is an upside spot for him. Like, this is the upside spot against Indiana. So I like him a ton. I don't hate Cade Cunningham. Killian Hayes is just he just keeps breaking my heart every night, Steve. I keep taking his under points prop. He keeps going over. I keep thinking they're going to phase him out because Bogdanovich is back, and they just keep playing him more minutes. So I guess Killian Hayes is okay. And then I get the big man situation. I guess Beef Stew is going to be the guy, Stevie, playing 30 minutes. I think, you know, this it's a good spot. So I don't hate it.
I wish he's not really a value anymore. Like that's my problem. Like the guards have been doing all the scoring for Detroit, and it's like, you know, and like I don't expect like Kevin Knox to come out and get like 30 minutes in this game. So it's tough for me to really kind of hone in who I like here for Detroit. I'll definitely be looking at projected minutes in this situation to try to get an idea of what to expect. But it's tough. I mean, like, the person that's kind of got faded out here is Jaden Ivey from Bogdanovich coming back. You know, he's talented, and Thompson's talented. It's just this team's young, and they're really spreading it out minutes-wise. All right, Denver at Atlanta, 239.5 total here. Denver, 2.5-point favorite. Hunter, questionable. Johnson out for Atlanta. That's it. We got Jamal Murray on the probable side of the injury report this time. Denver first here. Jokic, 11-9. Fantastic matchup here going up against Atlanta. This is like one of those 80-plus point like ceiling spots for Jokic. Talk to me here about Denver.
Yeah, man. Look, Stevie, how often do we get to talk about an Indiana game and then an Atlanta game back-to-back?
I mean, they can play each other anytime they want.
listen, give me Jokic all day in this spot. Like, I don't have to sell you guys on anything else. Like, this is a good spot. I know, you know, Jamal Murray is back, Stevie, and I know they've been slowly ramping up minutes. But listen, man, Jokic, this is big time tempo spot, spot where the defense from the Atlanta Hawks isn't going to have any type of resistance. I love Jokic here. Give me Jokic all day. I don't hate Jamal Murray here, Stevie, as like a deep tournament play. As we see the minutes come back up, like if it's tight, I think he could get to 35 minutes in this spot. This could be a big spot for him too. Like they could both crush here. I could see a Jokic 70-point, Jamal Murray 45-point game, you know, in a, you know, 138, you know, 130 affair. So yeah, I love this spot. Love it for Denver.
So I have a question for you. Like looking at Jamal Murray's minutes, they're slowly increasing him. Is this the spot Jamal Murray plays 35 minutes and they sit him Tuesday against Chicago on the second end of a back-to-back?
Yeah, I love that call. That's I love it. Yeah, for sure.
I just if you like it, I don't know. They're not going to play him on a back-to-back coming off an ankle injury, are they? So if they're saying he's probable for this game, they've been ramping him up slowly. You give him 34, 35 minutes here, and you sit him Tuesday against Chicago. That seems like the play. This is a much more competitive game than against Chicago. So I think Jamal Murray is really interesting. Like you could play him. I think you could play him with Jokic, or if you're not playing Jokic and you're going like ceiling Embiid, ceiling Halliburton, you could go and try to get like that ceiling Murray spot. Jamal Murray is a guy that can put up 50 fantasy points. Like he's that type of player. So don't sleep on Jamal Murray in this spot.
Yeah.
Atlanta side. I mean, Trae Young expected back here. Was it Friday, right? They missed Friday with the illness. He's expected back. He was playing lights out before missing that game. I could see Trae Young and Jamal Murray just going back and forth. I could see Trae Young and Jokic going back and forth. I could see Trae Young having a big game here. It's getting past Trae Young. That's interesting because if Hunter sits, does Bogdanovich play 35-plus minutes? It's something to kind of watch here. You know, Hunter is playing 30-plus minutes a night, and if he were to sit in this game, that's a lot of minutes to kind of fill, and I think they fill as much as they can with Bogdanovich because they've been very careful with, like, running out Sadiq Bey, and they've unleashed him recently too. So, like, where are the minutes going to go? I feel like they're going to go to Bogdanovich, and we're going to see a lot of Bogdanovich, Bey, Trae Young, like, type of sets.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like I said, we saw Bogdanovich play about 40 minutes in the Philly game. So I like that call. You know, Trae Young, 10-1. That's fine. Once again, man, it's up-tempo spot, which I do think Bay is priced out for what it's worth, Steve. Like at 6,300, I don't feel like he's Bogdanovich or Caleb Martin. Like, I think his ceiling is like mid-30s in a general sense with all they've got. So Bay's probably an outside looking in for me. I do still think Bogdanovich has a little bit of meat on the bone. So I don't hate that at all.
Yeah, I really think this is a – just want to hammer it home one more time. I really think this is a Trae Young game. I think Trae Young is going to have a big game in this one. All right, Toronto at New York, 219.5 total here. New York, a 4.5-point favorite. No Porter on Toronto. Brunson, questionable. Robinson out for the Knicks. We'll go Toronto here first. Scotty Barnes, man, we talked about him on Friday. You were talking about how he was one of your favorite plays against Charlotte. He smashed your Hornets.
Of course.
Hornets ended up winning. Hornets won. Okay. But Scotty Barnes smashed the Hornets. He had a triple-double. What are your thoughts here on Toronto?
Listen, I played Scotty against Charlotte. I will not be doing it against the Knicks. And Scotty's been – Stevie, you know, you get that report at the end of the year from DraftKings telling you who you played the most. I can tell you right now it's been Scotty Barnes. To start the season, I will not be playing him against the Knicks. I don't like this spot. In fact, Stevie, for me, I can just tell you right now, I'm not playing anybody against the Knicks. Even if, you know, I know Brunson is questionable, but I'm not going to attack this team with the Knicks. I feel like everybody's priced appropriately. If one of them has an upside game, so be it. But I'm not playing anybody against on Toronto against the Knicks.
If Brunson sits, I think you could play quickly, even in a tough matchup. We're talking about
Toronto. Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't have a ton of interest in Toronto. But that thought process, if Brunson sits, I have a ton of interest in quickly in this game. I will say, like, Toronto likes to play big. So, like, Mitch Rob being out, like, Hartenstein might play 30 minutes in this game at 4,600. He might be one of the best value players on the slate. Like, Toronto plays big. There's no New York getting small in this spot. I think Hartenstein plays 30 minutes or close to 30 minutes in this game.
Yeah. Look. I'm with you. Not now. Remember, I just didn't want to play anyone from Toronto. We're talking about Hartenstein, Stevie. He is one of the best values at 4,600. A better value than Nick Richards. I can tell you that right now. So this is a good spot for him. And look, if we get Mitrov and Brunson out, I still don't think that's a whole lot of drop off.
Mitrov is already ruled out. He's out on the
No. I'm saying if we get both out. Yeah. So if Brunson's out with Mitrov, I mean, the Knicks are going to give us incredible value with Quickly and Hartenstein. And then Stevie, then, believe it or not, the big value here, all the Knicks are underpriced as a result of it. Randall's 8,600. RJ Barrett's 5,800. Josh Hart is 5,100. Like, the Knicks could be giving us serious value in this game, even though the game isn't going to be super up-tempo. So the Knicks are a favorite team of mine. If Brunson is out, they might be my favorite team to attack for DFS today.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks would open up a lot of value, a lot of usage with Brunson being out. Barrett would get extra usage. Randall would get extra usage. So I think New York would be a very interesting team if Brunson ends up sitting. Whether Brunson plays or not, with Robinson out, I think Hartenstein is still a fantastic value. All right, we got Dallas at Memphis, 227 total in this game. Dallas, a 2.5-point favorite. Green, Kyrie, Kluber, Williams out for Dallas. Adams, Clark, Kennard, Morant, Smart out for Memphis. Pretty normal injury report for Memphis right now. But no Kyrie is huge for Dallas. Luka's 11-8. Yeah, I mean, his usage just goes through the roof. Like, this guy with no Kyrie, just, I mean, it's hard not to say, like, this guy is one of the top plays. I mean, Kyrie played when they played Memphis earlier this season, and Luka had 76 fantasy points. So, I mean, he has to be right up there at the top of the board.
Yeah, man. We talked about Embiid. Stevie, if Embiid plays in this spot against Atlanta, love it. Jokic is playing against Embiid's playing Washington. Jokic is playing Atlanta, and we get Luka against Memphis. All the stars are playing against bad defenses today, Stevie. Pick your poison. I don't know which I don't know which one is going to go for 70, but right now, absolutely, Luka's leading the pack. Stevie, if the Knicks give us Brunson not playing tomorrow, I'm legitimately going to try to jam in two of them. Trying to jam in Luka Embiid, Luka Jokic, some way, somehow. We can find a way to get it done. But Luka, man, he's absolutely the top star on the slate tonight. I still love Haliburton. I will die on that hill today. But Luka with no Kyrie is like, hey, be smart, buddy. Like, this is the guy, period. Also on this team, though, Steven, I hate the fact that he's priced up too much, but Dante Exum, we saw him get big minutes out of nowhere. I'm saying just in general, like, we thought his career was dead, and he's just back here with Dallas, like, cranking out fantasy points. So he's a guy that I think we can consider. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a guy that I think we can consider, Steve. I think we can consider him. Derek Jones Jr. is a guy that I also think we can consider. These guys should play big minutes, especially with Grant Williams already out, Jeff Green, like, they've got enough guys out. These mid-5K guys from this team could also thrive against Memphis as well.
Yeah, I like Exum and Jones more than I like Hardaway, because Hardaway is so reliant on scoring. Like, Exum, he's been doing it, like, with assists and rebounds, and, like, Derek Jones Jr. does it defensively. This guy is, like, a block and steal machine. So I have a lot of interest in these, like, secondary pieces for Dallas. On Luka teams or without Luka, I think these guys are very much in play. On the Memphis side, I kind of like Triple J today. I know, like, he hasn't had a lot of success against this team this year, but, I mean, with these injuries for Dallas right now, I can see Triple J not getting challenged defensively, which keeps him on the floor foul trouble-wise, and Triple J having, like, a 50-plus point fantasy game here for Memphis.
Yeah, look, man, I've been playing Triple J even at 8K, Stevie, just because of the upside. And now the price is continuing to drop. And I think Jaren Jackson is the quintessential, like, tournament play, right? He gets to that 8K range, 80, 81, 82, doesn't do much. Price falls, gets down, Steven. He's going to get down to 7,800. Tonight he drops 50. He goes back up to 8,200, drops a couple 40-point games, a 30-point game, a 28-point game for foul trouble. He goes back. So I love Jaren Jackson. Today, I think this is a really good spot for him. I agree with you. If this game is going to stay close, so I, believe it or not, Stevie, I don't hate, and I do think he's overpriced a little, but I don't hate Desmond Bane here at 8,700 with a lot of those bodies missing for Dallas. If the game is close, we could get a really nice game from him as well. So 8,700, Desmond Bane makes the list.
Bane's always a player. He's another guy that can just score in bunches, and it's actually been doing a little bit more, like, on the offensive side with, like, assists and rebounding. So it's good to see from Desmond Bane. We got Utah at OKC, 233.5 total here. The Thunder, a 13-point favorite in this one. Kessler and Markkanen out for Utah. Dort questionable for OKC. Let's start with Utah. No Kessler, no Markkanen. Yurt 7's 47, Olynyk's 49. I think we start with the value guys here for Utah and try to predict, like, which one doesn't come off the floor if this game gets out of hand.
Great question, Stevie. I would assume Yurt 7 continues to get minutes. Like, they have no reason to not play him. Like, they know what they have in Olynyk. Kessler's, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like Yurt 7 gets 30 plus minutes. I could be wrong. I definitely think he gets 28 minutes in this game, Stevie. Like, there's no Kessler and no Markkanen now. Olynyk is back, but I think he plays the minutes. Fontecchio's probably going to play. Clarkson is back. George is there. THT, I think he's just done with this team. Agbaji probably gets 30 minutes as well, Stevie. Well, let's call it 25 to 30 minutes. Like, his minutes have kind of been all over the place, but perhaps they bring him in for defensive purposes. But I think it's shirt seven with the bigger bump.
Yeah, THG's only played 30 minutes one time this season, so his ceiling's just kind of limited in this role. I think Olynyk and Yurt 7 are both very interesting. I think if Yurt 7 gets 25-plus minutes at 4,700, he's a great value play in this spot. And Kelly O, man, guy gets hot from time to time and has these big games. And I don't hate Ochi at 46 either. On the Thunder side of things, I mean, SGA is always a guy that you can, like, put up there with those, like, high-class studs. I just don't know if I like him as much as I like some of these other pieces today. What are your thoughts on the Thunder?
I like the Thunder. They're in a good spot for defensive purposes. But, I mean, I think the guys that we would play, Stevie, I think, like, for instance, I'm not going to play SGA over Haliburton today, for what it's worth. So I'm absolutely not going to play him over Embiid. If he plays, I'm not playing him over Jokic. If he plays, I'm definitely not playing him over Luka. If you're giving me Josh Giddey, I'm not playing him over anyone. Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren. Now, Chet's probably close, but I think I'd just rather spend the extra $1,400 and play Jimmy Butler, extra $1,200 and play Jimmy Butler. I'd probably play Desmond Bain. They're just, I think they're all priced appropriately, and I think the value is in other spots with guys out, so forth and so on.
Yeah, I mean, Thunder, they're a good team. It's a great spot. They're priced appropriately. My favorite play from the Thunder is probably Jalen Williams at 6,500. I think that's the piece that I'd be playing, if anything, here for OKC. Because, like, Dort's minutes have just kind of – they're there. He hasn't done a lot with it. If he ends up sitting in this game, maybe it opens up a few extra minutes. But, I mean – would it be Wallace, I guess, at 3,800 that maybe projects for like 29 minutes? Maybe he doesn't come off the floor right away in a blowout, so maybe Wallace is in play in those stars and scrubs type of builds. But, I mean, I always got to look at like rotations and stuff and try to project minutes in that kind of situation. Luckily, I have RG Premium, so I can look at our projections for minutes and see if I like somebody. Minnesota at New Orleans, 220.5 total here. New Orleans, a 3-point favorite. Edwards, McDaniels, and McLaughlin, all questionable for Minnesota. Nance and Ryan out for New Orleans. Let's go Minnesota first. If Edwards sits, it's huge. I mean, first things first, if Edwards sits, it's huge. He's dealing with a hip. Played the other night. I think he played, what, 3 or 4 minutes?
Four minutes, to be specific.
Came out of the game. Cat gets a huge increase in usage with Edwards off the floor. He's 9K. I think he's someone that would be potentially playable in this spot. We saw Rudy Gobert. Like, this is 4 out of his last 5 games, Rudy Gobert has gone for 48-plus fantasy points. His rebounding right now is through the roof. So I think Rudy Gobert's rebounding prop will be really interesting. I looked before the show. It wasn't up yet. What are your thoughts here on Minnesota?
I think this Edwards thing is real, Stevie. Like, in terms of his injury, which
they're going to be careful with him, right? They have to be careful with him. Yeah.
And because the other thing too, Stevie, if I'm not mistaken, Minnesota was number one in the West at one point, weren't they?
I don't look at standings enough, but they were playing their defense. It wouldn't shock me because of how good their defense was playing.
Yeah, and it is early, don't get me wrong, but my point behind that, Stevie, is yes, they are number one in the West. And Stevie, they're 3 games ahead of the Thunder right now. They're 17-4. Thunder are 2 at 14-7, Mavs are 3-13-8, Nuggets are 14-9, Lakers 14-9. Like, all of this will change, right? We're only 20 something games into the season. But my point is this, Stevie. they have no reason to send Edwards out there right now if he's not all the way ready, and hurt their chances of him playing later into the season when the games matter a little bit more. And I'm talking about playoff basketball now. No reason to run him out there. So I think this thing is real. If he can't go, then I'm going to be interested in Conley. I'm going to be interested in Karl-Anthony Towns big time. You know, we talked about that the last time, Stevie, when Edwards was out. I mean, Towns, the usage, I think he's somewhere, what, 38%, somewhere in that area. It's incredible. And he just got a chance to dominate this game. So if Edwards plays, believe it or not, Stevie, I think I'm still interested in Towns and Conley in the event. I think this would be kind of a flyer type deal. In the event he just can't go, like he thinks he can go, he goes, and he has to leave the game, I would be willing to risk it with Cat at 9K because Cat can still get there even if Edwards plays.
All right, let's go to the New Orleans side. What are your thoughts here on the Pelicans?
Like the Pelicans, Zion at 8,100. Like, we haven't really seen the upside, Stevie, here in the past couple games, but that's okay. We're also getting the price decreased. So give me Zion at 8,100. I do have an article that I want to read on Zion where they're talking about the team is trying to get him to increase his conditioning and his shape, and he's just ignoring them. I got to read that article because I want to look into it and see what's happening. But as long as he's playing at the price of 8,100, I'm okay with that. CJ McCollum is 7,600. I think the price is fair, but I think there are just other guys that can hit the type of ceiling that he may have with all of them playing. Brandon Ingram's just okay. Like, you know, he's 8K, you know, whatever. Herb Jones has been good, but I don't think he's going to be better than Hartenstein today or quickly if Brunson sits. So I'm probably just playing Zion, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with New Orleans with C.J. McCollum back is just, like, everyone's still priced for C.J. McCollum being out. And Minnesota's a good defensive team. I just don't see a ton of value with the Pelicans. And I might be missing something. I mean, we should mention, like, Trey Murphy has come back, and he's played at least 22 minutes in the three games that he's been back. But he's 5,400. It's tough to pay that price for him, but he is someone that can score a lot. So you might be looking at, like, Trey Murphy, you know, point prop type of stuff more than, like, playing him in the DFS side of things. But his prop, I know it's been like 13.5, and I know it's been wrote up on Scores and Odds, I think all three times. I know Meansy wrote it up against the Lakers the other night. It was like, I think it was 12.5. So I made money on that, but
yeah.
It's good to see him back. He has some talent as well. All right, Chicago, Milwaukee, 233 total. Milwaukee 11-point favorite. Caruso questionable, Levine out. Patrick Williams probable. So let's go Chicago first. What do you like here for the Bulls?
Oh man, Stevie, this continues to be an interesting spot for me with the Bulls, with Levine out. Believe it or not, Kobe White to me has been the guy. Like, I've just continued to play Kobe White, Stevie, and most nights he hasn't disappointed. You know, most recently, Kobe 43 fantasy points, 55, 43 last time against Milwaukee, 55, 39, 41. Those are the performances. Now, he is priced up now to where you still have to think about it. I don't mind rolling him out in tournaments, Stevie. I think Kobe might have been my GPP tournament player of the day the last time we were on. I think he was. At any rate, even if he wasn't, that's okay. But I still like him at 73. I think as long as he's got that 40 to 50-point ceiling right now, I think we can continue to play him. Milwaukee's playing at a good pace. Their defense has improved, Stevie, in terms of efficiency. But they're still not at the top of the league. Like, they were kind of bottom of the league. They're improving. But I still like him. I don't want to play DeRozan at 8,200. I think that's just kind of blah. I don't hate Vooch. I would probably play Vooch over DeRozan, and I think I'd play Kobe White over everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily love or hate this spot for Vooch, but I think, like, the traditional centers have been giving Brooke Lopez a little bit of trouble this year, and Vooch, he has 50-plus fantasy points in both meetings against Milwaukee this year. So I think Vooch is definitely playable here. Coby White's been playing really good with LaVine out, so I think you can continue to do that. Honestly, I think the odd man out for me is probably DeRozan.
He's been playing good,
but I think I'd take Vooch over DeRozan if I'm just looking at like this price point. And I definitely like Coby more than I like DeRozan if I'm considering price. So
yeah.
If Caruso sits, I could get on playing some AU here at 5K. I think he would play 30 plus minutes if Caruso ends up sitting. And Patrick Williams has been playing good too, but I can't click his name, man. I watched too many Bulls games where he's just sitting in the corner. He hasn't been doing that as much this year, so like maybe I just got to get over my bias of him. But I mean, he's been rebounding more. He's been playing. Patrick Williams is the defender, right? Like that's why he plays so many minutes. It's like Isaac Okoro. They play minutes because they're good defenders. So like his upside is definitely in the defense side. So I think if you're playing Patrick Williams, it's probably more of a FanDuel play than it is a DraftKings play here. Milwaukee side, I mean, I haven't been playing a lot of Giannis this year. Just 60 is not getting you enough, especially on this slate. When you're looking at the studs on this slate, Giannis is going to be ranked way down on the stud list for me today. I don't have a ton of interest in the Bucks here.
Yeah, Stevie, and I agree with you 100%. I won't beat a dead horse, but all the other studs are way ahead of Giannis today. I'm with you.
Yeah, Malik Beasley's been playing really solid minutes, but, I mean, his price has caught up too. Milwaukee's priced really appropriately, and I don't see a lot of value. Maybe projections will see something in this game that I'm missing or we're missing, but I just don't see a lot here for the Bucks.
Yeah, same here. I'm not playing them. Not even Dame. And Dame's been playing fine, but at that price, Stevie, I think we can get a Dame floor performance from some 5K guys today.
Man, he had a game. He had a run the other night. It was phenomenal. He scored like 12 points in like 3 minutes. And like, that's what Dame does, man.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. San Antonio at Houston. 224.5 total in this game. Houston, an 8.5-point favorite. San Antonio is good to go. Easton and Brooks questionable for Houston. Let's go San Antonio first. What do you like here for the Spurs?
Well, Stevie, Houston's been playing pretty good defense, right? They've been playing pretty good defense or playing better. Let me say that, better defense this season than usual. But, I mean, Wemby at 88, I don't mind his upside against anyone right now, Stevie. We're just going to have to pay the price at 8,800. Like, it's just this is where we are with him. I don't hate Keldon Johnson at 7,100. Like, we've seen a little upside from him as well. But all in all, I don't really want to play anyone from the Spurs. I just think we've got better players across the board on other teams on such a big slate.
Yeah, I think overall, I think when you're looking at San Antonio as a whole, last year we just wrote this team off. We talked about it so much last year, we just weren't playing San Antonio. Wimby is a difference maker. He has 60-plus point upside on any given slate in any given matchup. Matchup against Houston, I'm probably staying away from San Antonio here. I will say I wish Zach Collins was a little bit cheaper. But Wimby would be the like tournament play that I'm looking at here for San Antonio. On the Houston side, tough team to kind of figure out. San Antonio, not a great defensive team. I can see Van Vliet having a good game, but does he have ceiling? We really haven't seen many ceiling games. Jalen Green is priced really appropriately. I mean, Sengun is the guy that is like these two teams, right? These two teams for me this year. I've really basically only played Wimby, and I've really basically only played Sengun, and like it really not changing in this slate for me.
Yeah, I get it. I get it big time.
I mean, what are your thoughts when it comes to Houston?
I don't hate Van Vliet. I don't hate Sengun. I think my thing on this whole slate, Stevie, is all these guys in this 8K range, like Van Vliet, Like, I'd either want to play him, I'd want to play Sengun, or maybe Jalen Green. Like, Jalen Green might be cheap enough. I just think the studs are where we go today, and then we fill that in with the value. So, Sengun does have 60-point upside, but I think these stars have 80-point upside. It's like, I don't think these guys are as valuable today when we should get New York with at least one or two guys that we can play. Like, even with Mitch Rob out, like, I still think that's going to help a Josh Hart or help one of these other peripheral pieces. We already know Dallas is going to give us a lot of guys that we can play. I just, these higher 8K guys, with all the people, with all the pieces available, it's just not as appealing to me today.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I think it's a stars and scrubs type of slate.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Brooklyn at Sacramento, 234.5 total here. Sacramento 5-point favorite. Walker, DSJ, Simmons out, Monk questionable for the Kings. Let's go Brooklyn first. I mean, this seems like a Bridges type spot where he has like 50 plus point upside. I don't hate him in this spot. I mean, I don't necessarily hate Claxton either. Claxton's always minutes, man. If he gets 30 plus minutes, he crushes, but his minutes are just kind of all over the place. I think it's a Bridges spot. What are your thoughts on Brooklyn?
Yeah, Bridges, another 8K guy that I like him. I don't love him. Like the Sacramento matchup definitely increases the interest, right? Like when you got Houston playing San Antonio, but this matchup with Sacramento where it should be competitive all the way down, you know, possible OT situation. I don't hate it. I still think Bridges is slightly on the outside looking out. I don't hate Claxton. But like you said, the minutes, Dinwiddie 74, man, I wish he was flashing a little bit more upside consistently. He's just okay. Cam Thomas at 7,100, like he's just okay. So I don't really want to play anyone from Brooklyn. Like, I guess if I did, I'd side with you on Bridges, but generally speaking, I don't like this team.
Yeah, but the problem with like Claxton too is like Sharp gets like 20 plus minutes when he's playing well. He had a big quarter the other night against Washington, right? I like Bridges. He's another guy that, like, I just don't know if, like, he makes the build because of, like, the studs are just, man, they're in good spots today. Like, yeah. There's days we come on here and we're like, you know, the studs are okay, but, man, today the studs are, yeah.
Yeah, that's not today.
Not today. All right, Sacramento side here. Any interest in the Kings?
Can we get – so, Stevie, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play De'Aaron Fox, and De'Aaron Fox is going to give us a fourth-quarter performance all four quarters. If De'Aaron Fox gave us fourth-quarter performances all four quarters, Stevie, he'd be averaging probably 80 fantasy points a game. It's insane what he's doing in the fourth right now. This is a guy that's taking a lot of shots. The problem is, Stevie, we're not getting 8,200 De'Aaron Fox anymore. We're getting 9,600, and that's too close to the studs. Like, yep. He's going to be on the outside looking in. Now, you know, if you want to get wonky and just kind of try to build with some 9 and 8K guys and 7K guys, you can. I don't think that's optimal today, so I'm not doing it. But, I mean, I think Fox is a good play. I think Sabonis is a good play. You know, I think this game environment is good. I just don't think these higher priced guys in the 9 and 10K range are better than our studs at 11K today. I just don't believe that.
All right. We finish it out. Portland at LA taking on the Clippers. 220 total here. Clippers a 13-point favorite. Ayton questionable. Brogdon questionable, Grant and Williams out, and then Plumlee remains out for the Clippers. Let's go Portland first. They're still dealing with a lot of injuries here, and then, like, potentially adding Brogdon and Ayton out as well. I mean, Simons, 7,800, he's coming off 49 fantasy points against Dallas. His usage is just bonkers since returning. What are we doing with Portland here? I mean, do we expect this game to stay close? Probably not. What are your thoughts on Portland?
Yeah, man. I will say this. I will say this. If...
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Let's say we got Ayton back, ironically. Let's say we got him back. Let's say we got Brogdon back. I think this game is much more competitive, Stevie. Like, just in general, because they get to their guys. But, I mean, I don't know if they're going to play or not. So, in my estimation, they blow this team out. And guess what? Now, do I reap this price to 4,600, even if they're out? Like, I don't feel like there's enough value there. This is just a bad basketball team right now, and I don't think there's any reason to play them, Stevie, so I'm not.
Kind of where I'm at, man, this is a tough team. If Brogdon ends up sitting here, maybe take some shots on, like, a Skylar Mays type play on your, like, Stars and Scrubs builds at 3,900.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't expect, like, Mays to come off the floor if the game's out of hand. He might get some extra fourth quarter run. Kamara is another guy that I don't necessarily hate here in, like, a Stars and Scrubs type of build. On the Clippers side, I don't think this is a ceiling spot for the Clippers. Like, if you're playing, like, a Simons or a Sharp and you want to run it back with, like, a James Harden or a Kawhi or Paul George, go for it. I just don't think this is the spot.
Yeah, same here. Like, I feel like all the good games are at the beginning of the slate today, Steven. These ones on the back end, it's like, I don't really want to get involved. unless Anthony Edwards sits, I do think Cat goes into big-time consideration. I will say that. But other than that, yeah. I think these games at the end of the night are kind of uninteresting for our DFS lineups.
No, I'm kind of the same way. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Fun slate. Huge slate. Yeah. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you got?
Let's just go ahead and go Hartenstein right out the gate. We already know Mitch Robinson is sitting. Like, that's the low-hanging fruit today, Stevie. You take it and you move on.
I'm going to go with another center value and say Yurt 7. Again, we already know the situation here. I think that he should play a good amount of minutes. A lot of value. Over 8K to go under 5X, who is your bust?
I think we've got a lot of options, believe it or not, even with all the high-priced guys. Give me SGA.
All right. I think I'm going to go Giannis.
Yep. I get it.
Staple for this question for me. Favorite 6X play today?
Jimmy Butler.
I like it. I'm going to go Jamal Murray. I think we see good Jamal Murray on Monday. Jamal Murray cheering on his team on Tuesday. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got?
I don't know how weird this is going to be by the end of the day, Stevie. There's a handful of 6K guys we talked about. Give me Bogdanovich from Detroit, specifically, at 6,500.
I think both Bogdanoviches are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I had to be specific.
Give me Jalen Williams from the Thunder. I really like this spot for him today. I don't know if it's weird or not. We don't have ownership. It's big slate. I don't expect people to be super chalky here.
Yeah.
All right.
Almost anybody throughout was going to be fine today on 13 Gamer.
What do you got for us on the pick'em streets or prop streets or just a flat out bet? What do you got for us?
Well, Stevie, I'm going to pull up my handy dandy app and we're going to talk through it right now. Now there are certain props that I take in general, and it looks like it's actually not up at the moment. I'm going to give you these on Prize Picks. Hopefully they show up. So we've been getting Denny Avdija around 6.5 to 6 rebounds. I want less than that projection. We're probably going to get, hopefully we get Bogdan Bogdanovic at a half offensive rebound. I want less than that projection. If we, and I know I'm saying if, because maybe we get it, maybe we don't. If we get Isaiah Stewart at, and we might already have his, if we got his at like 8.5 rebounds, I want less than that projection. So those are just some of the ones that I like.
There you go. I have a 2-pick play for you guys on Prize Picks that I had already, I put this in a few minutes ago. I got Jamal Murray more than 20.5 points and Vucevic more than 30.5 points and rebounds. So that's my 2-pick play for the morning grind game today. I like it. We'll see how it works out. Will, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Negative, man. Listen, I enjoyed the show. I thought this was really cool for a huge slate, Stevie. So thanks for having me on. And once again, brother, love you, man. And hopefully we can run this thing back again later this week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have fun. We'll definitely see you later this week. Hope everyone has a fantastic Monday. Back on a normal-ish type NBA schedule where they pound us with a ton of games on one day and then give us a little bit of games the next day. So we're here to talk NBA. Hope everyone has a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.